Today we have Mr. David Sylvester. I want to welcome him into our teacher feature for this July.
Thank you, Kevin. Glad to be here.
For many folks who might not know, we know David very well here at Jazz 88. He's been involved for a number of years in kind of our pleasant counterpart, the video part to the radio part, although you worked on both sides of that fence for a while. Yeah. Tell us a bit initially about what you do. What's your official title here with the district?
Well, I'm actually a career and technical education teacher, and I teach in digital media, which is computer graphics, video production, and audio production. And so my end of it is primarily the video, though I was just looking at notes I had about the past working with KBEM and all, and I was involved with the educational program here, had taught in the KBEM on the educational side of the KBEM program.
Yeah, we had you doing the radio program, was it, for about a year, if I'm not mistaken?
Yep, and I actually didn't coach students on air, but kind of did the behind the scenes to help them prepare their programs for air. We did some jazz legend work kind of in the background, students doing research and all, and then they would work with Eve Bledsoe and would be able to prepare their work for on air.
Yeah, you kind of were a transition. You set the program up so Mr. Worthen and Ms. Bledsoe both could kind of pick up where you left off, to speak, right?
It's been great working with them. It's really been fun to work with they're really innovative people, and I really like the way that we all are kind of helping students to do their best.
Okay. So. Well, this is fun for me because I get to know a lot of people, you know, on a social level or professional level, but a lot of things, you know, you were kind enough to turn in your resume. I feel like I'm interviewing you for a job here, but your background is not quite what I expected necessarily. You've done a lot of different things. You started not necessarily studying to do what you're doing. Tell us how that evolved.
Yep, I came into teaching mid-career, and a lot of people are doing that lately. And before I came into teaching, I was working with a video game company. Worked for about 6 years doing video games for Disney and Viacom, doing graphics work and all for them.
Oh, cool.
And then
okay.
Before that, I was involved with video, I own my own video production company with my brother and another partner.
Okay.
And that's kind of where I learned a lot about kind of the real world of media, kind of what people are, the kind of things that are valuable that students may not get from kind of just a classroom environment. I try to bring that into my teaching.
Now, you're a pretty young fellow. Did you start with real film, or did you go right into electronic and video media?
Actually, I worked at Film in the Cities for a short time.
You did?
Did some work there, what now is IFP, IFP Minnesota. But I worked there for a while. And then moved quickly into video, just because it seemed like it was less expensive and just I could practice my craft a lot more easily on a student budget. So
yeah, I remember when I started working with some of those guys, the holdover guys in media back in the day, they were real film guys. So when they would say it's in the can, they were literal, right?
It was literal. Yep, you had your the cutting room floor, and you had the elements. All the elements were in the can.
Sure.
It was a finished product. Yeah.
So now, how did you decide you wanted to get more involved with the teaching end of things?
It was interesting because I was doing scouting with my sons, and I realized that when I talked, I was actually Cub Master, and when I talked, the kids listened, and I thought, well, this is interesting. I mean, I'm able to gather their attention and, you know, work with large groups and all. So I kind of just gravitated into it that way. I was working long hours with the video game company, went to school for a master's in St. Thomas. So I was kind of really burning the candle at both ends, but I was super motivated to move into teaching, and I've loved it ever since.
And for those, many people might not know that Minneapolis Public Schools actually do hold the license to what's called a public access cable station, right?
Yes.
How long has that been true? That's been quite a long time, right?
I think, well, as long as I've been involved, I've been here 11 years, and it just definitely before that time, I think it was the same. Channel 15 is a video source or video channel that's available for student work or for showcase of what's going on in the Minneapolis public schools. We've been doing some things with the Polar Producers, and actually we're really even looking to do some more things district-wide with a number of students in video and audio, just to help them to kind of do real-world work, and Channel 15 is a great outlet for that. We have a website, too, for student work in video and audio, so just wanting to help students to do kind of more real-world production rather than class assignments.
Right.
which
well,
is helpful.
What you do is quite a bit different, because what we do is we train them to run a professional radio station, but it's you have a little bit more flexibility with them, don't you? You can actually send them out to create content for this that's not necessarily dictated by you. Is that the case?
That is the case, yep. And actually we did a number of years ago, there's a project when Desmond Tutu came to North High School. We did a documentary of that visit, which was very, you know, it's great for the kids to get that exposure and to interview with, you know, with Desmond Tutu and put together the projects. A lot of what we like to do is to get students outside the four walls here and to have them gather materials so that they can tell stories and really call attention to issues. We're not super political, but actually what students do bring up, like issues of violence and all, you know, it's helpful for the community to hear about that, a student voice about those kind of issues.
Okay. Now, video production, I know, can get quite expensive. Are you involved with helping to seek funding for that? I know you've been involved writing some grants and things. Tell us a bit
and
about
actually,
how that works.
Kind of in partnership with Kevin Barnes here and also working with Wendy Palazzo at Career and Tech Ed and other sources. We've just kind of been looking for a lot of... There's always opportunity for developing better resources or better tools or better equipment and all. And so we're always looking for those kind of things. You put five proposals out there, you may get, you know, one or two, and, you know, it's just that's the kind of the name of the game. But it seems like people are interested in what we're doing, and so, you know, the funding seems to have been coming, which has been fun.
And here at North, I know, can you talk a little bit about the facility you've worked with here? I know you've been involved upgrading it and such. It wasn't always as state-of-the-art as it is now, right?
Yeah. When I came in, it was kind of in the 1970s era snapshot. It really was more like SVHS and kind of older school equipment and all. We really have worked to develop it where students are working on Final Cut Pro. They're working with HD cameras and just really developing that ability to work with more Pro Tools. And Pro Tools is another audio program that we work with. I think there's that need to really give students more modern equipment so that they're not prepared for something that doesn't exist out there.
Okay. Now, your radio counterpart, Mr. Worthen, has been on before, and he's talked a lot about teaching broadcasting and in media as a means of self-esteem. In other words, he doesn't necessarily get kids who are career professionals or aspirants to be that.
Yeah.
Is that true with video, too? Do you get a lot of kids who just come in taking it as an elective and you're teaching them more self-esteem?
Yep, that is a lot of it. I think that, you know, actually we don't expect, none of us in the digital media program, at least folks I work with closely, we don't expect that everybody's going to go into media. You know, it won't be necessarily their career. Maybe by the time they work with us, they will consider it more fully. But really we're working on they're developing skills to work in teams, you know, for them to think clearly, to organize their thoughts, you know, to help develop materials that others would be interested in listening to. It's kind of like public speaking in a lot of ways. I mean, and so all those skills are valuable for anybody to develop those skills. So.
Okay. Can you stay with us a little bit more?
Sure can.
David Sylvester is our guest, and he is involved teaching digital media and video and such for Minneapolis Public Schools. We'll get a bit more on his background as our teacher feature continues. And support for this program, by the way, comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And just 5:21, our teacher feature this week is David Sylvester. You may at some point have heard some of his kids on the air, not just the ones he's mentored through the radio program, but I want to talk a little bit about some of the graduates that I think you've continued to work with, like, if I'm not mistaken, Meng and Lou and some of the guys. They kind of started, didn't they, if I'm not, you know, with video, and then they kind of made the change over to radio. Do you see a lot of that?
Yeah, you know, folks, we encourage students to get involved with both the audio and the video production. Because you never know what is going to be their love or their passion, you know, what they're going to really enjoy. Meng Zhang and Lu Vang and Brian Jackson is another person who came up through the program. A number of the folks work with us way back on it. We had an audio project that we did on driver safety. And we
I remember that, yeah.
Online yeah. project that we had. And
you got an award for that one, didn't you?
We actually did. We got a student broadcaster's award and actually pretty proud of that. All the kids were just elated when they had gotten that award. And you know, we just submitted saying, you know, there's a lot of competition out there. We'll see what happens. And they did well with it. So,
okay. So the possibilities are limitless. Did those kids come? I know a lot of them didn't know that much about jazz, but you talk a bit about jazz, and you have an interest in it yourself. In
yeah.
These kids, right?
I do, and actually, my family has kind of a love for jazz. My dad grew up playing jazz and played the clarinet, and he actually went to San Francisco, and during the World's Fair at that time, he was able to see a lot of the jazz greats there. And you know, he'd just go across the river with his friends as a teenager.
Go to the Hungry Eye and some of those places.
Pick up on a lot of the. I mean, he kind of lived it, and it was in his blood a lot of the early years of his life. And so he actually, we do a thing now where a bunch of us, my sister, my brothers. We all get together and we bring in jazz tunes and get together for pie. Basically, mm-hmm. we've got to have a kind of structure there.
Sure, but, of course. We've got to get people to come, right?
And then
Brumbleberry.
Variety of pie. That's the feature. What's it going to be?
Right.
But then we just bring in tunes and everybody plays something. And it's improvisational in terms of what you're going to play. And so somebody plays something, you say, oh, that reminds me of this piece we could play. And so... I mean, we're kind of armchair DJs. I mean, not quite to your level, but...
kind of a book club for music lovers.
Yeah,
right?
And it's fun because actually there is an element of things kind of can build on a theme, mm-hmm. you know, and so we're able to kind of all share our love of music, share a love of jazz, and share some stuff we found that we want the others to know about.
So. Okay. How do you see the future of digital media? I mean, it's probably almost impossible to tell because 10 years ago, who knew things would be what they are now with the web and everything?
Yeah.
How do you see that and your role in it in coming years here for Minneapolis Public Schools?
Yeah, I just see that a lot of the work that students are doing is going to be individual and kind of more broad-based. It's, you know, kind of many broadcasters sending out to others. I mean, the web has really changed a lot of that where you can have niche markets for any interest area, and video and audio helps to support that. Some of the students may go on and they may do, you know, work in website design or Flash or things like that, and we help to support them in that graphics end of things. Couple of things, I mean, just wild things, actually not so wild because it's very contemporary, but we're working with St. Paul College on a program where it's 3D avatars that students are able to log on and become a specific avatar, and they're meeting in an educational environment. Sounds weird the way I'm describing it, but actually the idea is it's a community in a sense, mm-hmm. And you're able to kind of converse online like that. I think a lot more of that will be the future.
Yeah, there's a fellow on last week that was talking about they're doing that with PE, so I think that's not one of the areas I ever would have called it, but boy, he sure sold it well, so I'm guessing there's going to be a lot more of that. Huh?
Yeah, and I'm actually an immigrant. I mean, you know, all folks my age are kind of coming into digital media, you know, as we're kind of growing into it, but students are born into it, and they're actually, I learn from them every day about what else is contemporary, what's new, what are you seeing? How are people interacting? How are they communicating? And so I think I keep my ear to the ground from their standpoint to make sure that I'm keeping up to date.
Okay. So now is there anywhere people can go and view your work that's the kids' work, I should say, that's online or on Channel 15 or anything like that?
Yep, and actually, Channel 15, I think we have loops of, repetition of stuff that's come on there. The polarproducers.com is a site that actually will be changing because we're looking to do more of a district-wide thing, whereas it's been primarily at North here. So, but, you know, you can find it at polarproducers.com, but stay tuned. It will be morphing into a kind of a district-wide thing, new name and new format. But I enjoy that, and folks could watch material there.
All right. Well, best of luck to you, David Sylvester, and keep doing the great work you're doing with the Minneapolis Public School kids. And thanks for coming in. It's a working summer for you, too, right? You've been working all summer?
I have been, working with the GEMS and Guys program at Augsburg. It's for middle schoolers and really cool opportunity. Haven't worked as much with that younger age, but I love it. It's really cool to see they're getting interested early in digital media.
Okay. Teacher feature again on Jazz 88, supported in part by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We're always interested in your feedback. You can contact us at studio at jazz88fm.com. Along with David Sylvester, I'm Kevin O'Connor.